Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 4th of February, recording at 9:22 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. First, the highlights. Following last week's quite respectable stock market gains, Asia was mostly robust on the upside here today. Hang Seng up 3.77, the Nikkei, that's percent, the Nikkei up 2.69%. But the big gain was China. I can't remember the percentage, but they were saying on CNBC this morning that that was the best percentage gain, I think, since June 2005. So that's a bit of an eyebrow raiser. Nice dynamic on the chart, as you will be able to see when we post comment, or you can see it in the library right now, of course. And what else to mention here? European markets had gains paired by weakness on Wall Street, and Wall Street closed down around the lows of the day with the S&P down 1%, 14.6 points. Government bond prices weakened a bit in here today amidst talk of poor value. Well, that's certainly true. And the U.S. dollar is down a little bit. 100 ticks on the dollar index takes it down to 75.34. And the euro is up a little bit against the dollar, 148.27. The Antipodean currencies are firm. The Aussie, for instance, at 90.88. And crude oil is up a dollar, 89.95. Despite the somewhat weaker dollar, the precious metals followed through from, well, I say gold and silver followed through from the selling that they had seen on Friday. Palladium and platinum did not experience that selling on Friday, and they rallied again today. Both are quite firm, particularly the palladium in percentage terms. And gold and silver closed well off their lows, though. For instance, March silver got down at one point to 1644 and a half. It's currently trading after hours at 1673. That's down 14 cents. And gold bullion is down 230 at 903.18. It had been $11 lower than that at one stage. Okay. Oh, grains and beans, very strong in here. Actually, all of the agricultural commodities are strong today, but wheat was limit up, soybeans, very strong gains. So those have really firmed within their recent trading range consolidations. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as the stock markets are concerned, we've had a good brisk rally since that selling climax on the 22nd of January. Some interesting data is starting to come out. For instance, in the U.S., insider buying is taking place. And evidently that hasn't happened really since the middle to, the middle 90s. And that's been a bullish indicator in the past, although the converse hasn't necessarily worked. For instance, I do recall a number of people saying that they doubted the rally, that a wonderful bull trend that began in 2003, because there was the insiders were still selling. That's why one always wants to look at the chart price action, and that rules over here at Fuller Money, at any rate. But I've posted an article on that insider buying and commented on it, and evidently also the short selling reached its highest level as a percentage term, since 1931. Well, that rings a few bells. We certainly knew there were a lot of shorts out there, and as I said at the time, thus some of the extreme bearish forecasts that were coming out of those banks. Okay, the U.S. stock market indices, we've got some interesting divergence here. For instance, I was sent a Richard Russell piece, and he's pointing out that, well, he's saying that there isn't going to be a recession and that the bear market, such as it was, is over because the transport index has rallied strongly, and it has rallied very, very impressively. So a failed break beneath the August low, quite clearly, and failed break beneath a number of other lows as well. You'll be able to see that chart shortly, or of course you can look it up in the library anytime. And I pointed out that the utilities index never actually broke its August low, and it didn't even pressure it. Now, in a bear market proper, such as we saw in 2000 into 2002, well, I think the utilities index must have fallen about 60% back then. So all you could say about it this time is it just saw a little bit of a reaction and is recovering once again. But most eyes are, of course, on the Dow and the S&P, and they've rallied back up underneath those top areas that they have. So they're around the proximity of those August reaction lows. And inevitably, there's going to be some nervousness there. So it would not be surprising to see the markets sort of range around near current levels, or this the US indices to range around current levels for a short period of time. But I do suspect that we will see, given what some of the other indices are showing, such as the transport and utilities, I think the odds favor both the Dow and the S&P pushing a little higher, albeit after a bit of toing and froing near current levels. And some of the other markets are recovering very, very well. Some of the Asian commodity producers in particular are doing well. And Australia had good gains last week and a little bit of a follow-through in here today. Now, so I think overall, we could say the last really significant thing that happened in stock markets was that selling climax. As of today, the China leash effect is no longer negative. The Wall Street leash effect has been benign here to favorable recently. And I think that, having said previously, or as immediately following the selling climax that on the 22nd of January, that we'd seen a low of at least near-term significance, it's looking more as if we've seen a low of quite possibly medium-term significance. Now, what does that mean, particularly for new subscribers coming in all the time? Well, at Fuller Money, medium-term means to us anything from a few weeks to sometimes up to a couple of years, although seldom much more than that. But some of these big metals, including the precious metals, have often had these ranging patterns of over a year, sometimes approaching 2 years, and before they sort of punctuating their overall bull market trends. But overall, I think the tone, as far as equity markets are concerned, has continued to improve. There are a lot of skeptics. Most people are describing it as a bear market rally. They could be right in the sense that every view is in with a chance. But I take that balance of negative sentiment as a contrary indicator. In other words, there are probably more people around with cash who are not buying and are perhaps looking to, or they're either selling short or looking to sell short once again, than there are buyers. So that is a mildly bullish indicator. I say mildly bullish now because we've moved away from the extreme end of the world, blood in the streets pessimism that we saw around that turning point on the 22nd of January. Now, a forecast of mine is that as confidence slowly returned to stock markets, that we would see selling in the government bond markets, and I'll stick with that. The valuations are terrible, and I feel that just as we had a selling climax in stock markets, we had a buying climax in government bonds. So thus my a modest short positions in that sector. Modest so far because they can easily range around for a while people ponder whether or not the U.S. is in recession or just going to squeak by, avoiding a recession. Clearly, confidence in a pickup in global GDP growth is not that strong, although the optimists expect to see it later in the year, and I've got a hunch they're going to be right on that, given the Fed action, given the stimulative package. One item in that Richard Russell article talks about changes regarding tax write-offs for companies. Gist of it being is that the U.S. stimulative package includes a change whereby companies can offset 2007 and 2008 losses against taxes paid on profits during the preceding 5 years. Now that really is an eyebrow raiser. That's much more important, I think, than the populist measure of handing out checks to lower paid people within the US economy. Now, under the previous laws, tax laws, people would, or companies rather, would not have been able to offset those whatever losses they might have in 2008 against the gains in the previous years. They would have to wait until they were back in profit, and then would not have to pay so much tax because they could offset the next gains they achieve against the losses occurred. That's quite a significant break for some of these companies who've been hard hit, such as the banks. Okay, so I wouldn't be too gloomy in here. And precious metals, well, again, they've had an awfully good run, and Friday's action was not impressive, at least for gold and silver. I don't think this medium-term run is quite over, but we're well into it, as I've said before. I think that those who have been holding bullion money in bullion funds, unleveraged, of course, they can, or even some of them, some of you with gold bullion held at Swiss banks or whatever. I would not be worried about that investment. Leveraged traders need to be a little bit more careful because we have had such a good short-term run, but that platinum is still pushing ahead, albeit accelerating somewhat. And again, we've just had that interesting breakout of base formation on by palladium, so that looks good. Industrial metals, as I've said before, have steadied. They've improved, but might not do a huge amount while people are still quite concerned about global GDP growth. But that said, last week's rally in aluminium, albeit helped by, or maybe fueled almost entirely by the Chinese bad weather news, but it was an impressive performance, and I maintain very strongly that these metals are in a long-term secular bull market. The foods I've described as having boiled over following that USDA report at the beginning of January, and probably in a medium-term consolidation, but very much within the overall bull market. And I may have to rethink that medium-term comment following today's terrific action, and they've been generally firm. And I think that's pretty much it. So, all the best to all of you, and more tomorrow.